bad things happen even in the fake French countryside.
Yeah.
Welcome to Girls Gone Hallmark, a Hallmark review podcast. I'm Megan, and I'm a longtime Hallmark movie fan.
I'm Wendy. I'm your former Hallmark hater.
Today, we're discussing Summer Villa, which originally aired on the Hallmark Channel on July 23rd, 2016, which feels like it was a year ago, but was in fact 8 years ago. So let me blow your mind right there.
Yeah, for real.
If you want to connect with us outside of the podcast, follow us on Instagram. We have two Instagram accounts. Had some people join us over there. We are Girls Gone Hallmark and Megan and Wendy.
Come on over and jump into our Girls Gone Hallmark Facebook group. If you're looking for it on Hallmark, just head over to groups and type in Girls Gone Hallmark. We should pop up for you. If not, we'll have a link in our show notes.
Yes, ma'am. Before we jump into this movie, there's some news, Hallmark and Girls Gone Hallmark related, I think we should talk about. First up, speaking of the Facebook group, this was discussed there. One of the hot Hallmark adjacent stories is Ryan Pavey and his hot takes.
Mm. Go ahead.
He tweeted, sadly, no word of a Hallmark film. Excuse me, he wrote on X, but never. I may take 2024 off from filming unless the project is with friends, following up with the last 8 months of life in this industry have left a pretty bitter taste in my mouth, and I need some time away from a world so full of fake friends and empty promises.
Ooh.
So.
Shots fired.
This has been written about. I mean, this particular quote I pulled from an article on Deadline.com, it's been everywhere. It's been hotly reported. Look, Ryan was in two movies in 2023 for Hallmark. That's not nothing.
Even a Christmas movie. So what's he talking about last 8 months?
Well, I don't know. Who knows when that was filmed? But it doesn't seem that wild to me that it's April and he's not in a movie yet. The Hallmark bench is deep. And I think we talked recently about how the Hallmark execs came out and he had a multi-picture deal signed in 2022, which I imagine ended last year. Mm. They're not doing those anymore. Mm-hmm. So I could imagine I'm in a multi-picture deal. I don't get re-signed. Yeah, but it's not you. That's just not how we're doing business anymore. And it feels like sour grapes to me. And it also feels like fake friends and empty promises. Feels like you're asking people to be like, well, what happened? And he's not going to tell you.
Yeah, it's a little vague book, right?
Yes.
I saw you write this in the Facebook group. He's not one to mince words. I think that perfectly sums him up. He has been very vocal in the past about his unhappiness with certain brands or projects or events, etc. Yeah. It's not good for him.
The coverage that it got was wild. Yeah, it does. If I'm a Hallmark exec, it doesn't make me want to go, oh, please come back.
Yeah.
We shall see if we see Mr. Pavey on our Hallmark screens this year.
Wow.
Wow. If you follow us outside the podcast on Instagram, on Facebook, you may have heard the news, but we sat down to come up with our summer schedule, and Wendy completely blew my mind.
I'm no schmuck over here.
What does that mean?
Because you're like, Wendy completely blew my mind. Oh, never mind. It's okay. Go ahead.
What did you think I was talking about?
That I sat down and mapped out the movies that we're going to watch and the days that we're going to do it and made an image for it.
No. You're a hard worker. That's not my point. I wasn't saying, wow, Wendy did something that was never the direction I was going. I'm talking about the content we're creating.
Yes,
and that it was, in the end, ultimately, you who pushed for it.
I mean, I feel like I am the one who pushed this Girls Gone Hallmark from beginning. So go ahead.
The people have suggested many, many times that we take on Sign, Sealed, Delivered. Every time we talk about, you know, what should we watch? It's a big undertaking, and with the new movies coming out, we had said on a recent episode, what should we do? What are your thoughts? And the discussion came up in the Facebook group. People were saying, do it. Take it on. I want to hear it. And so it is a signed, sealed, delivered summer coming at you.
I'm excited for it, to be honest.
I am, too. I think it'll be fun. We are doing all the movies and the series. And we don't have air dates for those two Signed, Sealed, Delivered movies that are coming out.
I know. I hope they don't drop during the summertime, like in the middle of our schedule.
Well, if they're dropping two this year, we're going to get at least one before the end of summer.
Well, hopefully it's at the end of our run with it.
We shall see, right? So
I will post that schedule on our Instagram today.
Oh, exciting.
I already dropped it last week in the Facebook group.
I did see that in Facebook. So if you're in the Facebook group, you got early access, but you can keep up with what's coming from us this summer.
And BTW, I have already started Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Oh my goodness.
And this is why I have found out that there is an actual pilot before the episodes. Because I watched the first episode and I'm like, wait, did I miss something? Like, who are these people?
Oh.
Now it makes sense that there was a pilot movie first and then all the episodes. So anyway, I like what I've seen so far.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. We did get one DM that was like, no, they're not that good.
Mm-hmm. I know. So, I hear that in my head every single day, too. I'm like, what have I gotten myself into?
I'm not so much worried about what we've gotten ourselves into. We've watched plenty of bad movies. But don't go anywhere if Signed, Sealed, Delivered isn't your jam, is all I'm saying. We will be doing Christmas in July again this year.
Yes. I am really excited about the slate of movies we're reviewing there,
too. We have seven never before reviewed movies and one revisited movie. Is that wrong?
No, that's correct.
So we will be breaking up Signed, Sealed, Delivered with a little holiday cheer.
Yes.
Super I'm excited about our schedule.
Me too. Now, if you're wondering, like, wait, Megan and Wendy, you're not reviewing any new stuff during June and July and some of August. Well, yes, that's correct. Tell them why, Megan.
Summer's hard. That's the short version. We might. I wouldn't say we're not doing any of that. They will drop a Christmas in July movie. Our lives are going to be different this summer. We both have drivers, so the demand on us might be less. I would say never, but our focus is not going to be the new movies. If there's an amazing new movie dropping, you may see a review from us. We may catch up at the end of summer in August.
Yeah. You're
dying to see a review. DM us. Join our Facebook group. Let us know.
Yes. And of course, we're always in the Facebook group. We can discuss it over there without actually putting out a podcast episode.
Yeah, it's to our scheduling advantage to do summer this way.
Yeah,
without exactly. Putting the podcast on pause, which is the only other actual alternative.
Yeah, and I don't think we wanted to do that. We want to still give you new content.
Absolutely.
This is new content to us, so hopefully it's new content to you, or revisited content, at least.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. You ready for a synopsis?
I am. Summer Villa, a celebrity chef who is getting over a bad review and a romance novelist who can't seem to get her next book started, meet accidentally at a French villa.
This movie first premiered on Hallmark in 2016, and then Hallmark re-aired it as part of their Summer Nights lineup in 2020.
When I saw that note, I was like, are you telling me Hallmark never repeated this movie between 2016 and 2020? Because they re-promoted it as like not new, but like exciting to our Summer Nights lineup. Here we've got Summer Villa.
I doubt that they never re-aired it. My guess is 2020, knowing what we know about Hallmark Productions, right? Things were halted in March. Maybe they're like, oh, we don't have as many summer movies as we need. We're just going to re-air this fan favorite during our Summer Nights lineup.
Gotcha. Gotcha. This movie was directed by Pat Keeley. Pat has 10 previous directing credits. Summer Villa was his first project for Hallmark. He's gone on to direct Majestic Christmas and Christmas in My Heart for the channel.
There are two screenwriters credited for this movie. Carrie Lee Wilson has just 4 writing credits. This is her one and only Hallmark movie. Other projects include A Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse in 2015 and College Road Trip in 2018. In 2008. According to LinkedIn, she's presently an adjunct professor teaching Screenwriting 101 at Los Angeles Valley College. Also, per her LinkedIn, she is the co-writer on a project for Hallmark Media called There's a Cake in My Future.
Which I could not find any additional information about, other than it's a book. So she's obviously adapting it, but nothing about it being connected to Hallmark other than her LinkedIn.
Emmy Mochizuki appears to be Carrie's writing partner, as Emmy has the exact same writing credits.
Hillary Burton plays Terry. Hillary has 34 acting credits, including previous Hallmark movies like Surprised by Love and Naughty or Nice. She played Peyton Scott in 130 episodes of One Tree Hill, as well as 25 episodes of White Collar. Oh. Hillary has been absent from Hallmark for several years after being, quote, let go from Hallmark Media in January 2019. She says she was fired from a movie for being outspoken about the lack of diversity on set.
Makes me like her even more. Mm. Have you ever seen White Collar?
No.
Netflix is pushing it hard to me lately.
Mm.
But I'm deep into The Resident and I cannot be swayed. Season 3, baby.
Oh, wow. You have surpassed me.
Yeah, I can't stop. Won't stop. Victor Webster plays Matthew, or Chef Cupid if you're nasty. Wowie zowie, Victor has a whopping 92 acting credits. We most recently saw him in One Bad Apple, a Hannah Swenson mystery.
Amorphia Margaritis plays Terry's daughter, Abby. She has just 3 acting credits, and Summer Villa appears to be the one and only movie she's been in, except for one episode of a TV show called 19-2 from 2015, and a short called Crafting for a Cure in 2021. After Summer Villa, Amorphia went on to study film and television at York University. Her last project was director of a short called Edge of Hope from 2023.
Christina Rosado plays Matthew's sister and Terry's book agent. Christina has an impressive 71 acting credits, and this was the last project she's done for Hallmark. She's gone on to appear in shows like A Million Little Things, Party of Five Reboot, and The Good Doctor.
Jocelyn Haas plays Jean-Luc. He's a French actor with several French projects. This is his one and only Hallmark movie.
Brittany Drysdale plays Diane. She's got a ton of acting credits, including Unlocking Christmas, which was a Hallmark Movies and Mysteries movie from 2020.
Finally, this movie was filmed in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. First impression, is this peak Victor Webster? Hot damn.
Yeah.
All I think about is that pool scene. Sorry. Woo. Wowie zowie.
Yeah, he looks great. 100%. Mine is, if fake Nantucket is Cantucket, what do we call fake France?
What do you call it? Wait, look, this is like a riddle. If fake Nantucket is Fantucket, then what do we call fake France? France? Sorry.
What did you like about this movie?
Okay, so I thought this was a really lovely movie.
Yeah, me too.
And lovely to look at. Of course, there were like a familiar Hallmark trope, but there was something about it. I didn't feel like Terry's success and happiness was a result of meeting Chef Cupid.
Yeah.
But like his presence did awaken her, or like awaken something in her. And that transformation was nice to watch. Lovely to watch.
Agree. Yeah, tropes aren't all bad, particularly when they're done well. And this one was done really well.
Uh-oh. Okay.
What? You didn't think so?
When I'll get to it in my wished for.
Oh, all right. Well, I just mean the uh-oh, we're both at a villa in France. I actually thought when, let me back up. When she looks outside and sees him swimming, I'm like, come on. How does he not know? But then they have the conversation with the sister and she's like, you didn't tell mom and dad you were going. I told mom and dad I was given my week. I bought it.
A little miscommunication, understandable miscommunication.
Yes, not the most unbelievable story. But one thing I really loved that has absolutely nothing to do with that, that was a surprise to me, was the relationship that Abby and Chef Cupid developed. Probably shouldn't call him Chef Cupid in this instance.
Yeah, Matthew.
Yeah,
Matthew.
Abby and Matthew. I thought it was great. I actually really liked Abby's character. I thought she played a great, believable teenager. And I think it was more believable to me that she was able to develop her relationship with someone else other than her mother. And I liked that we had this whole other storyline. It didn't involve Terry having to be like, oh, let me help you find your passion as a chef with these flavors. Like, she didn't have to be a part of that. They were able to help each other without having to actually partake in each other's careers. And I liked that.
I agree. I really enjoyed Abby, the character of Abby. I liked that there were typical teenage struggles that she was dealing with, but also she was very engaged with like these adults in her life. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't like this nasty, like, let me be on my phone and I hate everybody. It just was refreshing to see.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't fall into like a stereotype. And I do like that relationship between she and Chef Matthew.
I thought her friend heartbreak was really well played too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very believable. And I also thought that her turning on her mother in that moment, she came to her, she needed a hug, she needed to cry, and then she blamed her for it. All very believable.
Yes, agree. I agree. Something else I like, there was something about the way this movie was directed, and I hate saying this, but it looked like a real movie to me, especially the opening scenes when we have Terry like frustrated with writing, right? And she's frustrated with her daughter. I wish I knew more about directing to be able to like articulate why and how it was different, but it just looked different compared to other Hallmark movies.
Yeah, the framing of the shots is, I think, really well done.
I agree 100% from that. And I gotta say, like, I loved that scene where she goes to the bar to meet him on this blind date. It's very like, she looks, Hillary Burton, Terry, looks very sexy coming out of this cab and sitting at the bar. She's very flirty. He's walking up. Of course, he chooses somebody else. I love that whole scene.
Oh.
You didn't like it?
I liked it.
It moved me. Oh. I thought it was good. I thought it was good acting.
Yeah. I liked her talking to his back, like when he's talking to who he thinks is his date. And
yes.
She's answering him. That was clever.
Yes. I liked it as well.
I think there's some good one-liners in this movie. I actually am surprised that the writers didn't do more when Terry is talking to her friend, Matthew's sister. And she's like, he doesn't want the right girl. He just wants the next girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says to him, you can't let them take anything from you, when she's talking about bad reviews, which is something that she can obviously personally relate to as a writer. And I think that advice also applies to her daughter when her friends are talking about her on social media. I thought there was some well-placed lines.
Yeah, I am kind of disappointed that these two writers haven't written more for Hallmark.
Mm-hmm.
Counterpoint to that, I did read some reviews on Yelp, on IMDb. And of course, you know, you get the worst over there. Some people were complaining that the characters were too whiny. And I was like, what? I didn't think they were whiny at all. And yeah, I was like, no, this is wrong. Anyway. You're wrong. I thought Hillary Burton was fantastic in this. I wish she would give the network another chance. I think they've made great strides over there.
Yeah, but do you think they want her back?
Well, I think her problem was with Bill Abbott, because the article I did read said, like, it comes from the top.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that top is no longer there. And they have other people there who are moving in a different direction. So I just wish maybe they could meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, I think she's great. I think she's a great grounding force for the network. I really like her. I liked her in that kind of weird Paul Campbell movie that we watched.
Surprised by Love.
Yeah. I think she's really good.
You know what's interesting too is like she's really good friends with Bethany Joy Lenz. So, you know, they worked together for a really long time on Wintry Hill. And I think they, I don't know if it still is in production, but they had a podcast together.
Recapping Wintry Hill?
Yes. So I was like, Bethany does a lot of work with the network. You would think like that would be a avenue there. I don't know. Finally, for me, Victor was great. Very happy. I like him more and more.
Me too.
I don't even remember when like we first met Victor. Can you recall? It might have been the Wedding Veil, to be
maybe.
Of course, we knew him before we knew him because we watched Working Moms.
Indeed.
But Victor in a Hallmark role is what I'm referring to.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's great for the network.
Anything else you liked?
Nope, let's talk Wishes.
So for me, and I mentioned it earlier, it's old tropes. And that's the problem with these older movies from 2016. I think like we're subjected to these like tired tropes. Like we're not that the new movies don't have them, but like they just seem so obvious to me and they make me a little irrationally angry, I guess. Mm. I don't know. We got these two people who can't stand each other and then they end up spending the entire, you know, time in the same house and falling in love, or like the whole not even a miscommunication, but when Terry assumes that Matthew isn't the dude because he gets a job opportunity, like she feels like, oh, he's going to go away and...
Yes.
Now my
very
chance.
Least favorite is the lack of communication.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't read romance novels because they just take these tropes and recycle them heavily.
I can't stand it.
Enemies to Lovers is typically my least favorite, mostly because we've talked about it before, you have to make a big leap for me to believe it, that you've made that jump. And sometimes in an hour and 20 minutes, we don't have enough time to do that. I do think they did it well. I was rooting for them. But it is one of the harder hurdles to overcome for me as a viewer.
Right. What about you? What did you wish for?
Well, at the end of the movie, Matthew says, like, I want to know, you know, this is our story. I want to know what happens next. And yeah, me too, because what's the plan? Obviously, you're not going to go on tour making dinner for a different single woman in a different city. Like, that sounds like a terrible idea, honestly. Like, don't do that. I mean, you guys just going to go back to New York and, like, live and work there? That's cool. But, like, what's going to happen with their friend's restaurant?
I don't know. What's going to happen to his restaurant in New York?
There's a lot of questions here. This movie could use some answers.
Maybe he didn't own that restaurant, and that's why he was able to bounce after his bad review. Maybe he was just the like executive chef at that restaurant. You know how that is?
Like, yeah.
I didn't get that vibe.
Like, he's there when they're getting ready for the day.
It was a little unclear to me. But you're right. What's next? What's the plan? He's like, I could cook anywhere. Okay. Well, she can write anywhere. But you also have a teenager here that you need to consider
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any other wishes?
No.
Hey, look at that. Let's move on to Did You See That?
I have a few.
I only have two. Well, first of all, they're like fawning over the quality of these sweetbreads and they're not explaining what sweetbreads are to people who may or may not know. And I'm like, no, disgusting. Sorry. Like, this comes from a girl who would never. And then they like feed them to Terry without her knowing what they are. That's just cruel.
Yeah. Does it remind you of the 90210 in France moment where they ate brains?
Sure. Of course.
It's brains. I can just picture them.
Yep. Just Donna spits it out.
Spits it out. Yep. No, thank you. What else?
It's a minor complaint. It's when he's lounging by the pool and they think it's so funny, hijinks, Terry and the daughter, Abby, and they like flip over the chair and he is asleep and falls into the pool. Like, how terrifying would that be?
God, I would be so mad.
I would be so pissed, first of all. And then second, like, they flip the whole chair over, but in the next shot, like, the chair is sitting there and, like, his book and towel and everything is on it. So it's like, that stuff didn't go in the pool, just him.
What I notice in that scene is he's holding a book and Terry, like, reaches for the book as they're flipping him over.
Oh.
So I wonder if they just, like, tipped the lounger and then, like, tipped it back. I don't know, but
whatever.
Yeah, I was like, don't throw the book in the pool, and then you can see her hand.
Got it.
Grab
could
it.
Could you imagine being startled like that? No. Like, that could give me PTSD for the rest of my life.
Seriously, like, that's the end. Our relationship is over. We have a rule in my house. Don't sneak up on me. Like, don't hide from me. That's not funny.
Not funny.
Oh, not cool. Couple just little moments. In the beginning of the movie, Matthew's at work and he's going to go on his date and he like walks through the kitchen and he grabs his suit or his coat like off a hook in the middle of the kitchen. This is like a terrible place for your clothing. Just got to say, even if it stays clean, it's going to smell like a kitchen.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud at the giant old key ring that the sister hands to Terry. She's like,
stay
at our family's estate in France. And it's like a giant rusty key. No.
Did they bring it back from 1814?
Seriously, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's
did Cat bring it back?
You know, remember when she finds that key?
Yes.
Okay.
It's seriously like the dog with the keys in Pirates of the Caribbean on the ride, like outside the jail cell. Terry is recognized by so many people. And I'm just going to say, writers aren't that recognizable. Hmm. Like, maybe if I introduces herself, but physically by name, like, oh, are you Terry? No, I'm sorry. Nobody knows what these writers look like.
Yeah, I mean, remember last week's movie, Blind Date Book Club? Like, Robert Buckley, who played the...
Yeah, had written this, like, blockbuster smash series, and the bookshop owner doesn't recognize him. Come on, it's just, no. And finally, they get into that little sporty coupe to drive away. It's a very Harry and Meghan moment to me, because it reminded me of the car they drove away from their wedding in, if you remember. Anyway, they don't wear seatbelts.
Oh, not even a lap belt?
They didn't show them putting one on. And he, like, peels out of that driveway. I was like, careful.
Put your seatbelts on.
Bad things happen even in the fake French countryside.
Of course. Of course. Even on movie sets.
Even on movie sets.
Right? Okay, what'd you rate this one?
4 stars.
I gave it 3.75.
Oh.
That is not a bad rating.
I know.
It was, okay, here's where I'm going to get defensive.
I'm not mad.
No, it was probably a really excellent movie for 2016.
The bar has been raised.
I think the bar has been raised.
Yeah, I really liked it, but I agree with you, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Girls Gone Hallmark. If you want the jump on everything new coming to the podcast and you just want to talk Hallmark movies and TV shows, we'd love to have you in our Facebook group, also called Girls Gone Hallmark. And if you love this podcast, we love and need your 5-star ratings and reviews. You can leave them in the podcast app of your choice. We may even read one the next time we record. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.